Okay, before we have the sermon, this is Steve Penny, who has had to stand down temporarily due to ill health. So perhaps you can pray for Steve Penny. And then this is something that he was involved in with the Naval and Military Bible Society.
We've enabled military and seafaring communities to engage creatively with the Bible. The Bible doesn't change, but the world does. And we respond quickly to grasp every opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. And this is Uncover.
I believe the Bible really helps me, because everything I need for the day, like the guidance, I know the Bible is the most important thing.
I have what I call my combat Bible, which has been with me for about 15 years now.
I started with my Bible basic training, and I would have the Bible on my shelf. I would grab it and open it up, and I'd read a passage, and every day throughout my basic training, reading that passage would give me something for the day, and it really touched me.
The thing I found as a new Christian was the Bible was a very complex book.
We started with this very good resource, Uncover.
The Uncover booklet is simply a gospel, because it serves really as an introduction to the contents of the Bible, and particularly the New Testament. It's got opportunity to write notes and ask questions in at the side, and it gives you links to little video clips that explain something more about the background to the gospel.
We need to study the Word of God. But actually, studying the Word of God can be difficult, and we need to uncover it. And that's why this resource is fantastic.
The Air Force is quite open to the idea of religion, and they're quite a lot of inquisitive people who want to know why and what am I doing.
If guys are asking questions which I don't know the answer to, obviously the Bible was where I go to find the answers, but sometimes it's hard to really translate that to them. So resources like Uncover are really good in showing my colleagues what my faith is built on.
I've not gone without adversity. I've had challenges through life. You survive because you know you've got God, you've got the Word of God, and that's what helps you through those difficult times.
So we think this is going to be a great tool for spreading the message of the Christian faith and giving Christian service personnel an opportunity to share their faith with others.
The Word of God doesn't change, but how we engage with service personnel can. So pray for this, that SADS are finding very worthwhile on a one-to-one basis. It was designed for university students, but SADS are now seeing the potential with the one-to-one with the military, so please pray for that. Okay, our Bible reading is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. A well-known passage of God's Word. Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Amen. Well, I mentioned earlier, it truly would be a challenge to go through life at that height. Now, we don't know what height Zacchaeus was. But it's interesting to note that he is just one of a handful of people mentioned in the Bible with a physical handicap. So perhaps indeed he was very short. What was it like for Thomas, for Charles Stratton? Or what was it like for Zacchaeus to grow up being so short? We know that people can be cruel of other people's handicaps, and sadly children can be especially cruel. Was Zacchaeus bullied at school or teased because of his height? I wonder, have you been bullied when you were at school or in later life because of how you spoke or how you looked or what part of town you came from or what clothes you wore? Or in later life as an adult or perhaps as a youngster, were you bullied because of your faith? Perhaps Zacchaeus was bullied as a teenager or as a child. And this may explain why, when he becomes an adult, he chooses that most hated of professions to be a tax collector for the hated Romans who occupied his country. To finance their great world empire, the Romans levied heavy taxes on every country that they subjugated. And although the Jews opposed these taxes because they supported a secular government and its pagan gods, they still had to pay. Now, you don't need me to remind you that tax collectors were never and are never popular people. And indeed, in Israel, they were amongst the most unpopular. Because not only was Zacchaeus working, was a Jew, but he was working for the hated Romans. And in Israel, because of that, he had a special disadvantage of being regarded as spiritually unclean. And so he could never attend any of the special religious holidays. Evidently, in Bible times, tax collectors were able to collect some extra money. I dare say that wasn't the law, but they were able to do it and bend the rules. And clearly the Romans turned a blind eye. And it's interesting that Luke adds a little caveat that Zacchaeus was rich. He also adds a little caveat that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Now, back in Bible days, Jericho was an important place. Because it had a big custom house being on a road from Jerusalem to Egypt. And we know in the Old Testament that the soothing balm of Gilead came especially in large quantities, and it went into all parts of the world through Jericho. Indeed, in Jeremiah 8:22 we read this: "Is there no balm in Gilead?" Some of you mature individuals might remember there's an old hymn that we used to sing. I can remember singing it as a youngster. "There is a balm in Gilead." So Jericho was an important place. Zacchaeus clearly held a leading position amongst the town people there. And he probably didn't have too many friends, being a chief tax collector. But no doubt he had a fine home, probably a large stable of the best horses that money could buy. But any gadgets were around in his day, he would have had them, and he would have had lovely clothes, and he would probably have strutted around the town, exemplifying his wealth. But then, as we read in Luke 19, one day Jesus comes to town. Now, evidently, Zacchaeus had had some advance information about this, and he clearly, Jesus was such an important individual that Zacchaeus is going to go out of his way to see Jesus. And we read there that he climbed a tree. Now, back in Bible times, it was seen as the height of indignity for a man to run. So can you imagine the spectacle of Zacchaeus clutching his robes, running down the street, and of all things, climbing a tree? I don't know if they had newspapers back then, but if they did, I'm sure that was the leading item of news. Now, why did Zacchaeus throw caution to the wind, as it were? Was he tired of being hated? Was he tired of being lonely? Was he tired of the life that he lived with all its corruptions and temptations? Or did he want to clean up his life, turn over a new leaf, to start again, to peace with God, to have his sins forgiven? Now, when Jesus comes to the place, I'm sure Zacchaeus never ever dreamed that Jesus would actually stop there and look up into the tree. And I'm sure Jesus probably raised his voice just so that everybody around could hear what was going on. Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to have tea with you today. And this is actually the only recorded instance in the Gospels where Jesus invited himself to be somebody's guest. And of course, Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus. He knew his name, all the wrong things he had done, how he had stole money from the poor by collecting more taxes than he should have. But Jesus also knew that in Zacchaeus' heart, he wanted to be changed. And friends, we can't hide anything from God. Not only does he know our names, he knows all the bad things that we have done. He knows our hearts, he knows our hopes, he knows our fears. He knows our mobile number, he knows our telephone number, he knows our Facebook account or Twitter account or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever social media app you use. You can't hide anything from God. And I think in Zacchaeus' heart, he realizes this. And so when Jesus tells Zacchaeus to come down, he obeys immediately. And as Jesus welcomes him to his home later, there's an immediate delight on this rich outcast. Because from now on, his life will never be the same. This would be the dawn of a new life when Zacchaeus would sit at the same table with the Saviour of the world. And of course, all the old hurts, all the old insecurities, all the indignities because of his height would fade away to nothing. And paradoxically, all the things that Zacchaeus had worked for, the grand house, the healthy bank account, the lovely clothes, in the light of eternity, in the kingdom of God, they were suddenly of no consequence. Only the presence of Jesus mattered. And friends, so it is for us today. We know that Jesus came into this world as a vulnerable child because God chose it that way. He's not some distant creator who knows nothing about us. In the words of Charles Wesley, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Another writer puts it this way, he became what we are so that we might become what he is. And C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God. But friends, ultimately we know that the main reason Jesus came was to die on that cross of Calvary. So that when you and I put our trust in him, ask him into our lives, ask him to forgive our sins, then we too can inherit eternal life. Friends, have you ever stopped to think what it means to have eternal life? Well, if you trust the Bible, as I do, when we trust, accept Jesus into our lives, then we have eternal life. Yes, these frail, mortal bodies that we live in, they will die one day, but our souls will live on. And in the words of John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, even though apparently he didn't actually write this verse, when we've been there 10,000 years or 10 billion years or 10 trillion years or however much your imagination takes you, we are only just beginning. Friends, like Zacchaeus, each one of us here today need to know a healing in our lives. Or perhaps past experiences that have caused us pain or even continue to cause us pain to this day. And only Jesus can give us that inner peace that no one else can. That was Zacchaeus' life. His whole life changed as a result of his encounter with Jesus. To paraphrase, Zacchaeus says, I feel so good that I want to live differently. I'll begin with my fortune. I'll give half of all that I have to the poor. And whoever I've wronged in the past, I will repay four times over. Surely there is evidence of Zacchaeus' changed life. I'm very sure that as a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus would have kept a detailed account of everybody in Jericho that he collected taxes from. And he would have knew exactly what they had paid and probably what he had taken that he shouldn't have. But after his encounter with Jesus, can you imagine the joy that he had of sending his members of staff around to the different houses and perhaps himself go into the more prominent houses and knocking on the door? And as soon as he saw the tax collector, they would think, oh no, not more money. And then they would say, actually, Mr. Zacchaeus has sent us here and we're going to give you some money. Can you say that again, please? Yes, Zacchaeus has just met with Jesus. His life has been changed. And he wants to give you back the money that he has taken that he shouldn't have. Friends, that demonstrated Zacchaeus' changed life. And friends, this can be our story as well. Perhaps there's some dark skeleton that you have in your cupboard that perhaps no one else knows about, perhaps not even your spouse, but Jesus knows. But the Bible, the message of the Bible is, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've said, Jesus is in the restoration business. And just some examples from the Bible. God used a scheming liar called Jacob. He used a murderer called Moses. He used an adulterer and indirectly a murderer who was David, who happened to be king of Israel. He used a disciple who had been one of his most inner circle for 3 years. And yet at the point of pressure in the high priest's courtyard, he denied 3 times that he had ever even met Jesus. That was Peter. And then Saul, who on the road to Damascus had already been indirectly a murderer because he was persecuting the Christians, until he met Jesus. And then his life was transformed. How do you think Zacchaeus' mother felt if she was still alive as to the way her son was being treated? Or was she ashamed that her Jewish boy had become a hated tax collector? Had she ostracized or excluded him from other members of the family? Or had she treated him harshly as a child? Or did she love him? Was he the black sheep of the family? In Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16, we have these lovely words. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet God says, I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Friends, I don't know if you've ever been the black sheep of your family, but I was treated like the black sheep of my family when I was a child. And my mother did some terrible things, which these days would definitely constitute child abuse. But friends, I'm so very thankful that God loves me more than any human being ever can. And if you've got a loving mother or father or had a loving grandparent, then be extremely thankful, because not everybody has that. Now, Zacchaeus didn't just listen. He takes action. He demonstrated inward change by outward action. And friends, it is never enough to just follow Jesus in our heads or our hearts alone. We must demonstrate our faith by outward action, by a changed character and behavior. Paying lip service is never enough for God. Because remember, God knows the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. I don't know if any of you have ever served in the military, but I can remember being on a parade square at Royal Air Force Swinderby, and a sergeant would come up to you and he would speak very gently to you and say, if it wouldn't inconvenience you, would you mind marching for me a little bit, please? No, it wasn't like that. He was bellowing words that weren't always polite. And of course, when you'd be marching down the parade square, he would give a command, about turn. And you'd immediately change 180 degrees and you would go in the opposite direction. And friends, when we ask Jesus into our lives, that's what he needs us to do. Change from the way we were going to a new, living, dynamic life with him. And although Zacchaeus had given half of his goods to the poor, he had found incomprehensible riches in Jesus. And so he doesn't mind the material loss. And of course, Zacchaeus stands in stark contrast with the rich young ruler in the previous chapter of Luke in 18. Friends, ultimately, no matter how much of this world's riches we own, at death, we leave them all behind. Jim Elliot, who became a Christian at the age of 6 and was murdered by members of the Auca tribe in Ecuador on Sunday the 8th of January 1956, at the age of just 28, had earlier written in his journal on the 28th of October 1949, at the relatively young age of just 22, And many of you will know these words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Friends, are you following the advice of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount where he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where neither thieves break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Friends, only what we do for Jesus will last. In conclusion, one day Charles Stratton asked Jesus into his life to be his Lord and Saviour. One day Zacchaeus did the same. It's very interesting that Zacchaeus would have been one of the most hated men in his community, and the religious leaders of his day would have despised him, but not Jesus. The message of the gospel is this: Jesus will forgive your past, however unpleasant it has been. And friends, can you say today, I love my Saviour, and that makes me happy? Do you want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Luke concludes Luke chapter 19, verse 10, by Jesus saying this to Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The message of the gospel is this: when you get right down to it, the only thing that really matters is Jesus. And friends, as I close, I'd like to ask you, are you prepared to give what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose? Are you prepared to give what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose? Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, I'd just like to have a short time of prayer. And this is a prayer by Frank Topping, a Methodist minister, who is much more eloquent than I am. So let's pray. Lord of the morning, I'm trying to forgive myself for the mistakes I've made. There are too many if onlys in my life. If only I'd been more thoughtful. If only I'd been kinder. I blame myself for so many things, yet I cannot turn back the clock. I have to live today, even with my self-inflicted wounds. Lord, help me to live with myself. Lord, in this hour, I need to be able to forgive myself. But I also need to be able to forgive others, to really forgive. How often have I gone through the motions of forgiveness, only to let my mind dwell on the wrong remembered? And even to talk about the people who have failed me, that is not forgiveness. I know that I cannot erase experiences from my mind, but even bitter wounds heal. And though the scars remain, they can grow faint and be forgotten. Lord of life, help me to forgive and to be forgiven. It would be so good to be able to start again with a clean sheet, to make a new beginning, to be born again. I want the old, muddled, muddied me to die. I want new life. Here am I, sinner and sinned against. Is there a love that will cancel my sins? Have I the love that will cancel the pain caused by friends? I know that it is possible. I know that love can bring the dying back to life. Lord, fill me with the love that you offer, so that I may know that I am forgiven, and be so full of your love that it will spill over into the lives of all the people I live and work with. Lord of life, help me. In this hour, Lord, help me to look forward rather than to sigh over past events. Help me to see the good that can be done, the caring that can be offered, the love that can be given. Whilst I mope about myself, there are people waiting for the kindness I can give. Lord, help me to give, to share, to start again a renewed life. Lord of the morning, forgive me and help me to start again. Amen. Our final hymn should be coming up here.